Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, how about that, Paul? We always invite you in, Paul, when we can play Loverboy right in your face.
You know what? This is both masking and manipulating. We need two more days added to the suspension that we've already proposed for Loverboy. Are you kidding me?
All right, there it is. Flash the three, Paulie. There you go, right there. Take out the pitchfork and go ahead and brush back that coarse hair of yours, Paul. Put on your Jordache jeans. Get out the pitchfork and brush it back.
This is performance reducing is what it is when you guys stink and play a lover boy around here. Why is there not an NFL policy against playing this song?
Look, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be okay. Everybody's working. Hour number three of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning broadcasting high atop the bell tower that is the Auction Community Studios.
Kind of. Yeah. All I know is you can't wear the C and play Loverboy. There's no way.
Are you in the Auction Community Studio, Paul?
Don't worry about it.
Well, we're in the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
Well
but
done,
we
huh?
do have a representative in the Auction Community Studios.
I do have to tell you, Paul, when I walked into it is an amazing broadcast center. I wish we had radio doors at a radio station as good as the radio doors at a football training facility. But I walked into because it's been redone since it's been named the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center, and it looked great, and I knew I was here about 5 minutes before Wolf, and I didn't go anywhere. I just stood, and I had to ask a question. Wolf, where do you like to sit?
Yes.
So I wouldn't get anywhere near his chair. So I'm across from him. I don't know where Paul normally sits in the 9 million things he does here as well.
Sit where I want to sit. We don't care about Wolf's high maintenance.
Well done.
You go be high maintenance somewhere else.
Well done.
Knock it off, Paul.
Right.
Break out the pitchfork.
For your football fix, we start with Ron Wolfley asking Steve Keim the Monday morning after draft weekend. First pick of the second round. You drafted a corner out of UW. Any truth that you drafted Murphy to replace Patrick Peterson someday?
No. Matter of fact, I would love to see Patrick Peterson retire Cardinal, and had some great conversations with him last week. In fact, he was the first person to text me when we drafted Kyler Murray.
Interesting. I forgot about that. Really?
Uh-huh.
So Kyler Murray, I probably got Pat's attention since they both run the 4-3 range, right? So there you go. You know?
It's really going to be interesting to see how, in fact, they use Byron Murphy, right? Now that Patrick is going to miss the first six games of the season, to me, that is a big question. One thing that is not a question, they're going to play man cover. They're going to play a ton of man coverage with Vance Joseph, whether they have Pat Pierce or not. They're going to play a ton of man. Byron Murphy, I think right now, this puts him in the catbird seat to actually be a starter. I think, Paulie, you were talking about this earlier. I was talking about it as well. Doug Lease as well. We've talked about this. The fact that they wanted to ease him into it by putting him in the slot as the number three corner, right? Controlling his reps, controlling the exposure. Now, I don't know if they have that luxury. I think they're going to have to take Byron Murphy and put him out there on the edge, put him on an island, and say, go play man.
But you think, Wolf, they're still going to play a good percentage of man considering the circumstances when they don't have the top cover corner in the NFL, the guy they can start every game plan with by assigning Patrick Peterson to the likes of A.J. Green and Julio Jones? You think they're still going to go with that sort of game plan?
Yeah, I do, Paulie. No doubt about it, right? I mean, just because you lose Pat P, now all of a sudden you're not going to become Steve Wilks and start playing quarter coverage and cover three. Because you lost Pat P. There's how many other guys out there are playing man cover, right? Other than just Pat P. So, yeah, I think it's more a scheme thing, more of a philosophy thing than I think it is just having Pat P.
Well, I will say this. Obviously, you don't necessarily need to know the playbook that well if you're just playing man cover. It's there's your guy. You're on an island. Either you can get it done or you can't. And Brock Heward was on with Burns and Gambo. Remember, he's watched Byron Murphy throughout his UW career, and he had this to say as to whether he could be a starter.
He has a real feel in a game, enough game, that he's going to be able to walk in there, as I heard in your little update there, alongside those other two corners
update.
And contribute right away in their nickel package. if not pushed, I think, right away for that number two spot.
All right, Brock. I mean, just settle down over there. It's a sports cast. Don't ever hear the update thing ever again. And as far as Byron Murphy goes, he is going to have the luxury of Patrick Peterson through training camp in four preseason games.
Yes.
And hopefully that'll be really beneficial, at least more beneficial than it ever was for Brandon Williams, because all the time Patrick Peterson put it into Brandon Williams, that did not work out, obviously. Let's hope that's not the case with Byron Murphy.
Well, there's another thing about Byron Murphy that, and I think everybody knows the reason why we're focused so much on Byron Murphy. I admit maybe we should spend a little bit of time on Robert Alford, but the reason why we're so focused on Byron Murphy is you have this guy now who's a rookie who was hoped to be, hey, you become a number three, it's going to be easy, it's going to be okay, and then boom, now all eyes are on the rookie. But don't forget what Steve Keim told us. I mean, I was blown away when he said this after the draft, but if he meant it, and I'm not calling the man a liar, you're darn tooting this guy starting, because where did he rank him?
Put it this way, he was top 10 on our board. And, you know, it really, when you look at Kyler, him, and a number of these other guys, it sort of made me think about the year we drafted Fitz and Dansby and Dockett. Wow. Those guys were all so highly rated on our top 120 board, and it just fell right. This was similar in that we drafted a number of guys where it just kind of fell right for us. And to me, you know, you have to trust your gut and you have to trust your board. And whenever we veered away from the board and went for need, that's when you get in trouble. So guys like Zach Allen and Hakeem Butler and Byron Murphy, aside from the fact that we needed playmakers, they were all valuable on our board.
I got to tell you, if you draft a guy, if you say a guy's top 10 on your board and he can't start, that's not a really good board, is it?
Yeah.
Well, if he can't start because Patrick Peterson's going to be out
fine.
For, you know,
yeah.
Honestly, because Robert Alford, I'm telling you right now, again, I am so bullish on Robert Alford opposite of Pat P. That's the other thing that really stinks about this. Just the fact that you finally get a guy, talent-wise, the best corner you've ever had talent-wise from a talent perspective opposite of Pat P, and now all of a sudden you're not going to be able to do that combination until week 7. That, to me, is a bummer.
Here's the question. Do you take Buda Baker and put him in the slot? He's done that in the past. Now, my understanding is they did not want to do that this year. They thought he was used poorly a year ago, that his role in that Cardinals secondary, and at times even playing Will linebacker, they just confounding to the new coaching staff. They want to put him more in space, back him up a little bit, at playmaking safety, and not unlike what Earl Thomas has done for the Seattle Seahawks for years, a similar type role. But he does have the ability and the agility to go into the slot and be that guy. I wonder, Wolf, if they have to adjust accordingly for the first 6 games.
I think Tremaine Brock probably is going to be the guy. Tremaine Brock Sr. I think he has played in the slot before, Paulie. Don't hold me to that, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. He has played in the slot before as a number 3 corner. So, to me, there's an option they could go, right, for the most part, because the one thing is, I mean, rookie corners typically have a learning curve that includes the curve basically collapsing on their face at some point in time, because you're going to stick them out there on the island, and here comes the takeoff route. Here comes the double move on the outside. It takes a rookie corner a little bit of a drubbing before he actually learns on that island. So we're going to have to watch and see how that goes. Byron Murphy, obviously very, very talented, but I think if they had their druthers, they wanted to put him in the slot and let him ease his way into the game, ease his way into the season.
Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast, and it's brought to you this week by Kinetico. Here's a question that we never thought we'd be asking with 2 years left on his contract. What's the future of Patrick Peterson in Arizona? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Glad you're here. Thanks for listening to the Doug and Wolf Show this morning on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Patrick Peterson. It is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, topics in the NFL right now. And when you're talking about a $10 billion league, I think you full well know, it is always the most dominant force in the sporting landscape. And now when you not only have the number one story nationally being the number one story locally, but it's also the person that's Patrick Peterson and what he's represented for so long. And then you look at it from a strategical standpoint, what an enormous loss it is to have any productive player gone. But a team that's going to be trying to build their offense slowly and figure things out and going to have mistakes, and a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach that's labeled the offensive genius. It was going to be about defense. Please, God, keep us in games if we've got a chance. And now, arguably, their number one or number two weapon, depending on how you rank Chandler Jones, is gone.
You know how jacked up I was about this defense going forward, Douglas. Honestly, the combination, once again, of bringing T. Suggs into this organization, lining him up opposite of Chandler Jones, and then having Patrick Peterson and Robert Alford as corners. I'm telling you right now, in the National Football League, provided you could stop the run, those four guys, that combination, man, that made me very, very excited about the Arizona Cardinals and the prospects of them returning to the top 10 defensively. Now I've got to back off that right now. I've got to watch them play. I don't know what they're going to do. I know they're still going to play an awful lot of man, right? But taking Pat P out of the equation certainly hurts this team.
Yeah, because you just look at it very simply.
Ron Wolfley reporting.
They've got... when you're able to take away their best option, their best receiver, their best weapon, and say, okay, now it's my 10 versus your 10. Oh. The names you just listed make your 10 better than their 10 most of the time. Unless you're talking about the Saints or you're talking about anything Brady, the weapons other teams have just don't match the 10 healthy guys that the Cardinals would have.
Listen, folks, the people at NASA could not actually create or devise an instrument that could measure just how right Doug Lease is based on what he just said. Because I'm telling you right now, I know everyone looks at it like, well, where's the stats? It's not like Pat P's out there making a lot of tackles.
Because they don't want to go anywhere near him.
It's not like he's out there actually getting two interceptions a game, right? It's not. He is impacting a game by default. It is the baseline of any defense when you can eliminate the other team's best weapon.
It's huge.
Eliminate him. You have no idea. That impacts the entire game, as I said, on a strategic level and a tactical level.
Now there's the personal level. Now there's the level of where do we go from here. Now there's the level that nobody ever thought we'd be talking about. What's the future of Patrick Peterson in Arizona? He was at a charitable event yesterday, his own charity, still showed up, still heavily involved despite the terrible news of the suspension, told by a PR group of his, hey, don't address this, don't talk about it, we don't have to have media availability. He not only talked about it, he did not read from a prepared statement, stepped up in front of the media, which is a direct link to you. It's not about the media. It's a direct link to you, the fan, and said,
just want to make a quick statement regarding the news that happened today. Definitely sorry what broke out today, but for the most part, I just want to – I think you guys understand my character and also understand my commitment on and off the field and also to my teammates and also to the Arizona Cardinals organization. That's why this is – apparently very, very hard for me because I've obviously never been in a situation before and never wanted to have my name attached to anything like this. But I'm looking to move forward and put this behind me. I want to thank my family, my teammates, the coaching staff, the Arizona Cardinal community, and also organization. And I'm looking forward to getting back week 7. I'm going to continue to try to keep that smile on my face and get back to being the best DB in the league.
Man, apologize to the team, I should say, the fans. I mean, his teammates. You know, he was sincere. He was believable. It's incredible. I thought his statement was fantastic. It's not fantastic that he did what he did, yep. And now all of a sudden he's going to miss 6 games of the season. But I thought his statement, stepping up and not reading a prepared statement, but speaking from the heart, I thought that was fantastic.
And Patrick, it's fair to judge both. You cheated. I mean, you cheated. And therefore, you deserve this punishment. And you let an entire community down. You let your family down. And you know the big speech that anybody could make in a moment like this. But at the same time, now, how do you judge a man going forward? This is pretty impressive what he did yesterday. And I thought Gambo's report was fantastic. And I'm really wondering, what is the gap in time between the ridiculous Instagram posts and last night mentally for Patrick Peterson? Here's what I mean. If you didn't see Gambo's report or hear about it, Gambo is reporting that Patrick Peterson was upset going into the off-season training workouts, in which he had the Instagram post, snakes in the grass, and everything else, that he asked the Arizona Cardinals to restructure the contract. He wanted the Cardinals to convert money to a bonus. And therefore, by converting it to a bonus, he doesn't lose nearly as much money. Mm. Because you only lose game checks when you're suspended, not bonus money. However, you could see a scenario where the NFL would say, no, we're not going to let you restructure just to get your money.
Something,
you would have to sign an extension.
Something tells me that there would be, that would be a point of confrontation.
Right.
Something tells me the NFLPA would get involved.
So
if the NFL got involved,
if that's the case, then Patrick needs an extension to get the money. The Patriots did this. The Patriots, looking at Deflategate, and at the same time while negotiating a contract with Brady and an extension, said, okay, we'll structure it more heavily to bonuses, and therefore you get paid. At the same time, that helps the Patriots anyway, because when you're signing an extension, you would like to take a salary cap hit at certain times. So I hope Patrick Peterson wasn't thinking, they did it for Brady, why aren't you doing it for me? Because I got news for everybody in this league. You're not Brady. You know, you're not Tom Brady. So if Gambo's reporting is right, and I believe it is, can we hope that from the time that happened of him accusing the Cardinals or someone of being snakes in the grass,
right, exactly,
and to the time of last night being asked this question, how's your relationship with the Cardinals right now?
Our relationship is great. You know, I had a conversation with Steve earlier, you know, so we're just looking forward to moving forward.
If that's sincere, hopefully he just had a bad reaction to bad news and is now more accepting of the responsibility he put on his own children.
No, honestly, Douglas, I think you're right on this thing right here. It's the juxtaposition of where we have come from, oh, I see where we stand,
yeah.
And snakes in the grass, to now listening to Patrick be contrite, frankly. Get up there and actually, you know what, he didn't deny it. He was sincere. There's no doubt about that. He read from the heart. He didn't read from a prepared statement. That, to me, it just honestly, it says so much right now. And it fills me with a little bit of hope, Basinonians, that maybe this thing, maybe he's going to serve his suspension, learn from it, go on, and maybe there's not going to be a trade that is looming right now. Maybe he finishes his career here. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But I do know this right now. With 2 years left on the contract, the fact that he'd be 30 years old at that point, and maybe he got popped for PEDs right now. I don't know the circumstances, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know the details in which he got popped, what drug it was, and why he was taking it, if he was taking it, and why there was a masking agent involved in it, if there was a masking
or
agent.
Or some kind of.
I don't know so many of the details right now. All I know is the fact that this guy is going to be suspended for the first 6 weeks of the season for the Arizona Cardinals. And if, in fact, you're going to cost a team that is paying you money 6 games of not having your service, and then suddenly saying, you know what, we've got to rework this deal for you because you did something wrong, that doesn't compute.
I would stick up for the Cardinals in this sense, even from a football standpoint, irrelevant of the money. Of, am I going to extend the contract of a man that just asked for a trade the year before with my rookie head coach, is approaching 30, and is now been popped for PEDs? I mean, just from that standpoint alone, I don't want to give you a contract extension. I want to see you earn your contract extension based on 2019, even before I knew about the PEDs. Now, this is a national perspective. Dan Graziano was on Bickley and Murata yesterday. He's an ESPN NFL insider. And they asked him, okay, from looking at it from the outside in, can Peterson still work out here in Arizona?
Sure. You know, you're talking about, boy, I mean, if he wants to be traded or they want to trade him, it becomes difficult now. Although, you know, if a team knows for a fact you're going to get him in week 9 or 10 or whatever it is, then maybe that helps. But, you know, obviously the value is down. It'd be a lot easier to trade a player who's going to play 16 games, as Patrick Peterson has done every year, than a guy who's only going to play 10.
I don't think a trade benefits anybody right now.
No, I would hate to see him go. I really would. I would hate to see Patrick Peterson go. As far as a guy that has talent and a guy that has not been a diva up until this point, Patrick's been phenomenal for the most part.
So that was an NFL insider. Coming up next, we have a charitable MC insider, Paul Calvisi. Trusted to MC the charitable event that Patrick Peterson spoke at because it's Pat P's charity. What happened on the inside? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, you just heard Maloney's update. How about Dustin Johnson today? He started off on fire, went 5-under early in the round, and was only one shot back of Brooks. Koepka has still not picked up a golf club unless he's, of course, on the driving range or something. But he hasn't started his round yet, and Dustin's already dropped three shots back on this round. So he started off at 5-under. Now he's 2-under.
Beth Page Black.
It'll get you.
Rearing its head.
It'll get you. And we also have Giants tonight. Jeff Samardzija, Merrill Kelly. You can hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Diamondbacks at home starting a three-game series against the Giants. And I think the number is 16 of their next 19, all in the division other than a Mets series. So this is going to be a lot of movement going on in this time for the Diamondbacks. Paul Calvisi's in the Auction Community Studios. We're live at Cardinals headquarters at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. And last night, who is now MC extraordinaire of the Valley, Paul Calvisi. He's got an extra email address, or I think a new Twitter handle, Paulie MC, you could tweet, Paulie PA, you could want to tweet him right now and have him take care of all of your MC needs.
But MC Paulie spinning records at the club on a Saturday night.
That's P. Callie, and that's all you needed to know.
But if you are, since you are the man and you were doing the event last night, Patrick Peterson gets suspended. It's announced by Adam Schefter in a tweet at 9:40 yesterday morning, which is conveniently about 7 hours before his charitable event.
Hello.
I'm wondering, Paul, I think the biggest story you told today has to do with Cliff Kingsbury. What was the interaction of Cliff Kingsbury and other people and with Patrick and with teammates of Patrick?
Well, there's a lot of speculation that there's scorched earth all of a sudden between Patrick Peterson and the Cardinals, the front office, the coaches, those that he let down. And Pat owned it, and he admitted, his apology, and he owes an apology to a lot of people.
Very, very hard for me because I've obviously never been in a situation before and never wanted to have my name attached to anything like this.
And then, Doug, you brought up the timing.
I knew about it for months, so I'm just happy that it's not happy, but relieved that it's out now. I can put it behind me, and I can move forward.
Did he hope it would come out next month after the charity event? Absolutely. There's no doubt. There was an elephant in that room last night, right? I mean, Dumbo was flying around. There's no
doubt
about it.
That's a fair question to wonder how did it get out yesterday before the event.
And that's a whole other side issue that makes you wonder about several things. But I will say this. Two things happened last night. Number one, he came out against the advice of his PR staff, and he addressed it. You heard some of the comments right there. He owned it. He regretted it. He was remorseful. He was contrite. It was genuine. It was not a prepared apology that was him saying sorry, not sorry, and deflecting and blaming other people. No, it was 100% ownership. And then when you were in the event, you realize there's the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury, in attendance, chopping it up with Pat a good half hour or so before everything got rolling with the charity function and the live auction, etc. So I think that said a lot. Without knowing what was said, that says a lot that the head coach was there. And I think it flies in the face of a lot of the speculation in the market over the last day or so and some character assassination and wondering what his future is with the Cardinals. I think people who know Pat know he's a good guy, inherently a good guy.
No doubt about
14 reading centers he's opened.
No doubt about it.
Money raised for four more. We could go on about that. Just know that he cares. He's a dude that cares a lot. And sometimes, honestly, I think he cares so much, it becomes a liability. He just doesn't want to become the best in the game right now. He wants to be the best ever. He wants to be up there with like the Deion Sanders and the Mike Haynes, the all-time cover corners. He wants to be that guy. And I don't know if that's responsible here, but sometimes he can squeeze it maybe a little too tight and it becomes a detriment.
Yeah, you know, Paulie, listen, you know the way I feel about Pappy. I concur everything you just said right there. The fact of the matter is he got hit with his PED suspension. And what I love about it is he's not denying it. He's not. He was sincere. He was believable. He apologized. He's confronting it. He's taking it head on. That's the thing that I love. To me, what I can't get over is the juxtaposition of snakes in the grass, right? Or, oh, I see where we stand with Cliff Kingsbury being there last night at his charity event. And Pat P. already saying, you know what, the relationship, we're fine with the Cardinals. That to me, I mean, I can't get over the juxtaposition of those two stances, those two postures.
You know, after listening to both of you, I don't know if Patrick cares about my advice, but I got this from a great American philosopher whose name is Herm Edwards. Don't press send. When we look at Patrick Peterson's life as we know him coming to the Cardinals, he is always bad at reacting to things. EA Sports says you're not the best corner.
Unlike on the field.
All of a sudden, we've got to have an opinion on that. We've got to argue with Richard Sherman whether we're the best. Then, instead of just go prove it. Why get worried about it? Then we have this situation, snakes in the grass. Okay, what are you doing? Then we have the, hey, everybody go out and fight my battle because I'm asking for a trade. Instead, and he just gets so emotionally wrapped up into something, but to your point, Paul, about being a pretty good dude, I think once he backs off of his initial reaction, somebody's in his ear in a positive way. I know in my life it's my wife when I get out of line that says, what are you doing? Why are you going down this road? This isn't really who you are. And I'm hoping that there's a chance that for us this is all fresh and new. But maybe for Patrick and the Cardinals, it happened months ago. He threw his fit. He looks stupid, deserves to get ripped for the fit. I totally believe Gambo's report that says he was upset they didn't restructure the contract. He thinks he's owed something. And then somebody got a hold of him and said, no, you're not. Suck it up. You did it. And I think to your point, Paul, if Cliff Kingsbury's there, how do we know just how deep and heartfelt maybe the apology was behind the scenes if it was that legitimate up front? And I'm reaching a little bit. I'm hoping for the best for a good
There's
guy,
no,
I admit.
Not about it.
But remember, as we talked about in October, and I'll bring it up again now, we don't know how much of the trade demand and everything else that's gone on, the drama behind the scenes and the snakes in the grass comment, how much of that was business? Was him angling for a new deal? Him taking bad advice, perhaps, from his agent and how to go about it and try and exercise some leverage by demanding a trade because he didn't get a new reworked and revised deal with new money like an Antonio Brown, for example. And so I think a lot of that was fueled in part by contract demands and or wishes. Now that he's no longer among the absolute top tier of the highest paid corners in the game. And remember, guys view that competitively. Nobody's more competitive than Pat. And he wants to be the best, and that includes compensation. And sometimes that can get the better of guys. And that's where the agent needs to step in and help him out with some of the thinking. And I just don't think at times he's been advised all that well. To pull some of that kind of stuff, that should go through your agent and they should know better than that because, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it's blown back directly on Pat.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like the trade, the trade demand in the middle of last season,
yes.
Right? The fact that he's the face of a franchise here, and this is the last thing that Cliff Kingsbury really needs when trying to create a new culture on this team, right? The fact that it just happens stinks. Period, overall. And listen, I am hoping right now, Basinonians, that somehow, some way, this is going to be a detente, so to speak, between Pat P and the organization, and they're going to be able to go forward, and Pat P somehow, some way, is going to be able to finish his career here, because I absolutely love and respect the guy, but he did what he did, and now he's got to deal with the consequences.
Absolutely he does. Coming up next, how does Patrick Peterson's suspension now impact his legacy, both the future and the immediate future in that locker room? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh! Are you talking to me? Byron Murphy!
That's a good one.
Yeah, Murph! Real spec play corner. Real spec starting at quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. I got your number three corner right here, Byron.
No, number two.
Number two. You better believe he's going to be number two right now. He's going to get that opportunity, I believe. No more easing him into a game. No more easing him into the season. Byron Murphy is going to get the opportunity to start.
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation, with 13 dealerships in the Valley and thousands of cars available at AutoNation.com. So what do you do? What do you do right now with Patrick Peterson? What do the players do with Patrick Peterson? How many of the players care about Patrick Peterson?
That's a great question.
Because I think that they've all had transgressions they wish they didn't do. They look at this as, you know, we in the media, and I should say we in the media. I don't want to talk for media is too broad of a term. I know how I feel. I like Patrick Peterson, and I think he cheated. And cheating, I don't want to say what it does to me, because I think saying gets you pissed off as rude if you have kids in the car.
Yeah,
so it just alienates me a lot. Yet at the same time, I do judge you. How do you handle it? When you screw up like everybody does in life, what do you do next? And everything Pat P has done since his initial Instagram outburst is textbook on how you handle a situation like that. And he seems to be very genuine in the things he's doing about it. But I know if I can remind myself of the days of being a high school athlete, I wouldn't vote a player like that to be the.
It's a great question.
I want a captain there.
It's a valid question. It is.
I don't want a captain who says, you know what, I'm going to put myself at risk and not be there for six games. But I know I wouldn't be using. But I would have no idea who else in that room is using.
Exactly. I have no idea either, Douglas. I would if I were in that locker room. I can tell you that much.
And isn't it pretty? Travels. Yeah, that's probably true. Isn't it pretty hypocritical if you're a user to say, I'm not voting for Patrick because he used?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Listen, I don't know how pervasive it is. I do know that HGH, of course, 5-7 years ago, somewhere in there, it was a big topic. It's one of the reasons why the NFL went in, and they're still trying to get it worked out with the NFLPA in regard to how you can test it, how often you can do it.
The number is six, if you want to know. I read that.
There you go, right there, number
six.
You
can have six blood tests.
Go figure.
Unless you're in the part of the program that's already probable cause, you've already done something.
But I think the NFL, one of the big reasons why they want to get PEDs out, because of it helps PEDs so much of the time. Everyone thinks it's about, you know, getting stronger and faster, and it really isn't. It's more than anything else, it's about recovery. Your body recovering so much quicker, right? And that is the thing right now that the NFL really wants to mitigate, because once again, bigger, stronger, faster, body recovers quicker when you're out there on the field for the most part. Now that equals what? More impact. And more impact equals concussion. And that's what they're trying to do away with.
One of the things I'm really struggling with this story is trying to put together three elements. And if I'm, you know, if we're sticking to the would you vote him captain theories, I would kind of want to know this answer if I'm a teammate. And maybe the average teammate doesn't care about the legalities of it. But point one from a Dan Bickley column that's at ArizonaSports.com, in which he says a source close to Patrick Peterson says he took something that is related to the diabetes situation.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's a diabetic, he took something that because he was feeling sluggish, he thought it would help. And then that triggers the positive test. Okay. If that part is true, and I'm not faulting Dan, but I'm never going to completely trust the source. The source could be lying,
yes,
or making something up, and Dan's right to report what the source says. But I'm wondering then, okay, what about the extra two games? And if you don't know how the suspensions work, it's four games for using a banned substance. It's two games if you use a masking agent to hide that substance, or you do anything in the testing process that is trying to avoid a guilty test.
Correct.
Whether it be diluting the sample, whether it be spilling your sample on purpose, whether it be missing. You know, a lot of people don't realize in the offseason you can still get tested. And they can contact you within 24 hours and say, we're coming, even if you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. You can be in Europe and this can happen. And you've got to produce a sample on the spot. And if you decide I'm not going to, that's a miss. Boom, you get dinged. So he did something that caused it to be six games. We don't know what that is. But the CBA says if you're a first-time offender and you do both, use and then use do something that kind of hides your guilt, you get six games. So I have to ask, why the other two games?
I see, exactly.
Because if Patrick would have just came up and said at his statement last night, I thought I had an idea of something that would help with my diabetes, and I was lazy.
See, I
didn't call. I didn't check. I didn't do anything I'm supposed to do. I was so irresponsible to this city and this community, and I am so sorry. I deserve this because I thought I could do it, and I don't know why I did, and I deserve it. Okay. And then it would only be four games.
No, I mean, honestly.
So why is it six?
No, absolutely.
What'd you do, Patrick?
You just narrowed it down for me as well. Because when I saw Beck's tweet, when I saw that out there, that it could have been related to his diabetes, of course, via a source. That, to me, coupled with the fact that Patrick yesterday said, you all know my character. You all know my commitment. So I thought maybe he wasn't going to say what it was at that point in time. There was going to be a time where he was going to say it. But I put two and two together, Bick actually tweeting that out and what Patrick said, and said, okay, at some point he's going to devolve. And then I thought to myself, why would he just do it right there?
Why would
he just have said, listen, I know how bad this looks. I made a mistake. I did with my own medical condition. I went ahead. I took something I shouldn't have. I totally thought, why wouldn't he have said it right there and then? Because I was believing that there had to be something there when he said, listen, you all know my character, you all know my commitment, not only to my teammates, but to the organization and the game of football as well, right? Listen, you know, I thought that meant there's something else that will be coming down the road. Now, why he didn't say it then, that's got me a little perplexed.
And it's a great lesson to any young athlete. If you're in high school, you're in college, and you have dreams of going forward, when you are genuinely a good guy, you get a lot of the benefit of the doubt. I admit, and then this is a fault of me, not Patrick. If Patrick was a jerk, I'd be totally believing that he used, it's a joke that somebody tried to use his diabetes as a way to hide behind him cheating. I'd be going ballistic on a report like that. Because he's got a charitable history and a history as a good guy,
yes.
I immediately look at him and I say, Patrick, I believe you. I think you were stupid, but I believe you.
That's why I do believe that there is a possibility all of this gets fixed.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, he's still going to get suspended.
He's going to get suspended.
But from a reputation standpoint, you're exactly right. Coming up next, now that he did, let's face it, he got busted for using PEDs. But what does that say about the entire NFL? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.